Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone now, actually from Jacksonville, of all places, one of the top 10 swamp cities of Northwest Florida, as the good place referred to it, Bob Johnson, the sheriff, Santa Rosa County Sheriff. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. You're there for the sheriff's conference, right? Which, you know, you have to go to a lot of these things, so.
Well, it's two a year, so it's the winter conference.
Anything interesting going on that we ought to know about? Anything worth your time over there?
The governor's going to come speak to us, and the attorney general, and a couple of senators, speaker of the house, that kind of thing. So okay. We'll get some information over the next couple of days for sure.
All right. Take good notes for me and tell me cool stuff that they say when you come back to town. We'll talk about it next Monday. I think it was last week, maybe on Tuesday. I'm sorry. When I'm on vacation, my sense of time goes a little bit different. There was a threat to Hobbs Middle School, which wound up in a lockdown. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, we responded, Milton PD responded. We had a lot of different agencies that came together, and it went seamlessly. We had some parents that got, obviously, they were scared and came to the scene. But we took care of business, and nobody got hurt, and there was nobody, you know, it was a threat over the phone. And we're still currently working to track that down and hopefully arrest this person.
I know City of Pensacola, PPD, had a thing on last week, from Thursday or Friday, I forget, maybe it was Friday, where they had a spoofing where somebody called from a fake number to report they were in the parking lot getting ready to attack the Walmart. I happen to actually have been at the Walmart, I guess, around the time when the phone call came in, and I saw the deputies heading that way. Do we think this was one of those kind of an intentional spoofing kind of things, or what did we think at this point?
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. Okay. But yeah, and you know, this happens a lot. But what people don't understand is, you know, you can't track these numbers normally. But there are certain things that I won't discuss. But there are certain ways that we can locate somebody, even on a what they call a burner phone. We can still track them down. So hopefully there'll be arrests forthcoming, and you know. We'll send a message.
I'll take it. And by the way, just the reason I had heard about this was because I was listening to the Santa Rosa County School Board meeting, and Dr. Barber was talking about how, coincidentally, they and you guys had run a tabletop exercise at Hobbs previous to this, so you had not just practice, but practice on site, right?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it was fortunate it was Hobbs Middle School, because, like you said, we'd been there, done that, and went off seamlessly.
Great. Wow, that's great to hear. I think two different incidents, correct me if I'm wrong, but one was you had four different people arrested in Santa Rosa County maybe a week or so ago for a burglary of some kind. Is that right?
Yeah, we've had a couple of different incidents when it comes to the burglaries, but we've closed all of them by arrest, which is a good thing. One of which was in the bar where a guy was burglarizing a place, and he was armed with an AR-15 and got caught on surveillance camera. So, I'll tell you this much. When it comes to burglary in Santa Rosa County, you just don't want to do it because we will get you.
So you got the four people in the one case, and you got that suspect who was, menacing with the AR, which is, just for people who may not realize this, that's no different than if you used a handgun or a shotgun. It's just that some people find it a little bit scarier looking. But really, in practice, as the law goes, it's a gun, it's a gun, it's a gun, right?
Correct. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And it escalates. It goes from burglary, which is a third degree, up to a second degree, I believe, for armed burglary. So
very good. I anything else I need to know about anything else you got coming up? Because I know I want to talk with you about Minnesota, but before I want to make sure we have time for that. But anything else going on that you want to let Santa Rosa residents know about, either storm preparations or anything like that for the cold, your officers, how they handle it?
Yeah, just to make sure you take care of your pets and everything and bring them inside. It's definitely going to be a cold one, so at least no snow is expected that I'm aware of.
Not this time. We got it a week ago. We didn't get this time, right? So we'll take that. We're talking to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, hang on for me for just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. 3 Mile Bridge is looking good right now. US 98 near the Naval Live Oaks area continues to see congestion. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Bob Johnson, the sheriff in Santa Rosa County. I did want to ask you a little bit, because obviously everybody is thinking about this. The incident that took place in Minnesota over the weekend, I think it's a much more complicated set of events than some people will admit. Yeah. But I wanted to get your take on it. You know, I've offered my take. You and I talked a little bit about this beforehand, so you kind of know where I've been coming from. That,
yeah.
You know, it's not a brilliant idea to interpose yourself when ICE is involved in something, but simply carrying a gun does not put you at risk of dying, and is a lawful activity unless you brandish it or use it illegally or use it against law enforcement officers. But
In
this situation with the melee and the scrum and the series of events, it looks an unjustified shooting, but I wouldn't describe it as a murder, but we're obviously going to have to wait to see what charges happen. What's your take on the whole situation? Say anything you want.
Yeah, you know, it's terrible for the family of the guy who got killed, but also the officers, they're putting them in such a position where they're getting overwhelmed. You have 500,000-600,000 protesters, and then you're going to have like 50 cops, and they get overwhelmed, they get stuff thrown at them, they get all kinds of things, you know, going on, and unfortunately, that ramps up the adrenaline, and then one thing can lead to another, and then you have a tragedy like this. But I don't think it rises to the level of murder, but obviously there were some mistakes made that are going to have to be atoned for. So
what is the protocol? Because the thing that I thought was, it does not justify the shooting, but the thing that seemed most on the side of justifying it was that the one officer grabs the gun out of his waistband, so he's disarmed at that point. And somebody, it's not clear exactly who, yells gun, gun, gun. And then apparently another officer draws and shoots, and not just shoots the first set of volleys, but the second round of fire, which I think is completely unjustified. If your officers hear somebody say gun, 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 that does not justify a shooting. You're still responsible for your trigger seeing a threat, right?
Yeah. And just because you say gun, 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 you know, our officers are trained. We have a simulator. And they go through all kind of different training with guns, knives, whatever. But just because somebody yells it doesn't mean you get to kill people. It doesn't work that way. You have to be in imminent threat of your fear of your life being taken. Then you can respond. You can't just start, somebody said gun, let me kill somebody. It doesn't work that way.
And, you know, you and I have talked about this so many times, but I just want to make sure people are super lucid, clear about all this stuff, that the challenges put on law enforcement officers are tremendous. I think of the case in Okaloosa County where the airman comes to the door with a gun pointed down and the deputy killed him. And that was unjustified because, he's not menacing. He's not threatening. He's on his own private property. That is a very hard situation, but that literally is the job. That is the law, right?
Yeah. And you know, in that scenario, everybody gets second guessed. We have to make decisions in real time in split seconds. And basically, we have to be right all the time. And you do something that's, you know, like that Okaloosa deputy, which was terrible. I mean, it was really horrible. But, you know the police are at your door. Why come to the door with a handgun in your hand if you know it's the police? So it's a little bit on that, but he had no reason to shoot him, none whatsoever. So he's probably going to end up in prison, I would imagine. But we get put under those kind of pressures every single day, and 99.9% of the time, the officer makes the correct decision, makes the good call, and you don't hear about that.
Yeah.
But that 0.01% where something like this happens, you're going to hear about that for years, and it's over and over and over. So it just comes with the job.
And you know, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because I remember years ago there was a PPD incident where they arrested somebody, and I believe the perpetrator had a gun. And I sent it up to the Fox National to play on the radio, which they took it. But the story was, you know, man involved in armed scuffle doesn't get shot. Like, PPD used restraint. And, right. you know, that is the story most of the time. This kind of incident grabs our attention because obviously somebody died, and it should grab our attention. But there are thousands of incidents where this doesn't happen, and those don't get near the attention. The other thing I was going to just make sure to be crystal clear with you, I want to make sure you confirm this or whatever, is it is completely lawful to show up to a political demonstration, to a rally, as long as it's not in a sensitive place. And simply possess, in Florida, even openly, but certainly concealed, to possess a gun. There is no violation in that, even if law enforcement's around, right?
Correct. Now, the only time that comes into play is that you brandish it. You know, and obviously you can be arrested for that. But, yeah, if you just have it on your person, it's not illegal.
I have been very surprised, disappointed, frankly, that some of our leaders in Washington have said, you know, they have taken an opportunity to make it worse instead of making it better by saying things that were either false or legally false. And I talked about that quite a bit last hour. Anyway, anything else you want to say about this whole situation or what your law enforcement officers do, how they're trained? I don't want to fail to ask the right question, but if there's anything you want to add, feel free to add it.
Yeah, no, I just tell everybody out there that we train a lot. We spend a lot of money on this system we have that puts our officers under pressure and they have to make split second decisions. And if you want to make a mistake, that's where you want to make a mistake, in the simulator. That's when you make a faux pas. That's where it needs to be. It doesn't need to be on the street where somebody actually loses their life. So we put a high premium on training under stress, and I think it's paying off.
No, that's thank you. Exactly right. The way you train is the way you behave. Make the mistakes first, train it right, and then get it right so you do it right on the street. Bob Johnson, he is the Santa Rosa County Sheriff in Jacksonville for the Sheriff's Association Conference. Sheriff, as always, thank you so much for the time and keeping us informed and keeping us safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
821 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, or, you know, as often is the case, if you're moving, you're wanting to do both, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty do a fantastic job at this. And, you know, one of the things I love about Christina is she just has this passion for, I'm going to be here to help people. And if they ask me to do something that maybe I have not ever had to do before, like deal with, for example, an estate sale or a divorcing family, which is, if you think about it, that's a hard thing. You know, two people own a home, a lot of emotions, not really on the same page on a lot of stuff, and now you got to sell that home. How do you get that kind of agreement? Well, okay, or same thing with like an estate sale. Like a lot of times the heirs, inheritors don't always agree. So what she did, when these things have come up in the past is, well, you kind of handle the one as best you can, and then you go, let's get trained on this. Let's go learn how to do this. Let's become even better at this and make sure our whole team is capable of doing it. That way, when it comes up again, we're even better able to help people. And I love that dedication to polishing her craft and making sure that she does everything well, and her whole team, that same dedication to excellence. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday, enjoy Mardi Gras in Milton with the 8th Annual Crew of Airship Pirates Mardi Gras Parade. The beads start to fly at 3 o'clock. The 5th Annual Pas de Gras event will be Sunday from 11 till 4 on the closed-down Garden Street between Tarragona and Palafox. Enjoy the parade, costume contests, vendors, and fun. Find out more at visitpensacola.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, it's just like that college chick told me. All that you gotta do is just ask them questions and listen to what they have to say. And
I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot of work.
That sounds like a lot of work. 8:25 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Cold all week. Yeah, freezing temperatures. As always, you know, we recommend that you drip a pipe in your house so the pipes don't freeze. If you're from the north and it's your first winter in Pensacola, that's a real thing. We're not kidding. That's real. But also, you know, beware the exploding tree and the falling iguana, and be sure to wrap your... That's also all real stuff. I mean, the exploding tree is not so common. But the falling iguanas, although we don't really have iguanas here. Anyway, in northwest Florida. All right, 825 News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that is flowing smooth. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. By the way, you've been doing a great job. So you're here all week. Tip your waiters and waitresses. Okay. And Monday, because John's out for all that time. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Is this the newest call into work excuse? I got to stay home. My trees are exploding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything will do in a pinch. Sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
I got hit on the head with a falling iguana.
You should see the bruising. The talks between Ukraine, Russia, and the U.S. are being called constructive by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. In a post on X, Zelensky said a lot was discussed, and he said that the central focus of the discussions was the possible parameters for ending the war. There's a plane crash under investigation in Maine. A small jet registered to an LLC out of Texas crashed while taking off from the airport in Bangor. Eight people are believed to be on board that plane. The number and extent of injuries there is unknown. And the Department of Homeland Security being ordered by a federal judge to not destroy evidence in that deadly shooting in Minneapolis. The federal judge has granted a temporary restraining order requested by Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Now, I know this is going back in time a week, and you know, typically in the news, you don't want to go too far, but I don't care. I was on vacation, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it. The national championship was much closer than I expected, the Indiana-Miami game, and I did get a chuckle out of some of the comments that were made afterwards. That's more what I wanted to talk about. Kurt Cignetti, the championship coach for Indiana.
Let me tell you, we won the national championship at Indiana University. It can be done.
Amen, brother.
And I'm so happy for our fans. Words can't describe it.
Yeah, as a Big Ten kid growing up, I can tell you nobody saw this coming, right?
Finally, how are you going to celebrate, Coach?
I'm going to have beer.
Enjoy that beer, Coach.
I'll have a beer. Oh, it's such an Indiana answer. I love it. But then, this is why I wanted to bring this up. That's fine. But the comments from Fernando Mendoza, who's the quarterback in Indiana, who I guess is now transferring, which I think was fascinating. Anyway, here goes. Okay, I'm gonna play it, and it's good, but let me tell you what I'm thinking after I play it.
That's one thing about our team. We're always going to put all on the line. And, you know, I want to give all the glory and thanks to God there. My offensive lineman blocked perfectly, and we're able to execute the team towards a common goal, have the Indiana Hoosier synergy to score, and then give our team a chance to win the game.
I love this kid. I love that he talks about his past, you know, having gotten turned down from being a walk-on at Miami and then coming back to play in the championship against Miami at the location. It's pretty amazing.
It's victory is so sweet for everybody, for the entire Hoosier Nation, but also, you know, it's super sweet to myself. I was a two-star recruit coming out of high school. I got declined to walk on offer to the University of Miami. Full circle moment here playing in Miami for all the friends and family. I can't thank Coach Cignetti enough and Coach Whitmer and Coach Anna for taking a chance on me and just give all the glory to God.
Man, I love it. And the one thing, okay, this is the part that I'm kind of like apprehensive about, but I'm going to say it anyway. I love it when athletes credit God. I love it. I do. But, okay, the philosopher in me, the logician in me, I wish people would give credit when they lose, too. Because if you're going to praise God when you win, God helped me do this, and I appreciate him helping me to win. Well, if he helped you to win, that means you're saying he helped them to lose. Right? I mean, logically, If he helped you to win, he helped them to lose. And if he helped them to lose, then that means if you're the losing quarterback, you got to get up there and say, I thank God for this defeat. PJ, have you ever heard? Anybody? Ever?
In the movie Facing the Giants?
Yeah.
That's a quote.
Right. Right. Yes. But that's exactly it. Is not only praising God in the bad things, that's just, I mean, because that's some of the most important times to praise God. It's easy to praise God when things go well. It's not as easy to praise God when things aren't going well. As Pastor said yesterday, praise God for giving you the water that makes you struggle to swim in, because he gives you the water to learn how to swim in. You know, like, that's true. But also just the logic of it. If God helps a side to win, and it's okay to believe that, I'm not sure he always helps every football team to win whatever they win, but that means he helped the other side to lose, and be grateful. Praise God. Woohoo! He helped us not to win. I don't see how. Maybe that's a benefit, but he did that too.
Foster. A federal judge hears arguments this morning about the immigration crackdown in Minnesota. The state and cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul are suing to end the surge in ICE operations there. Another lawsuit would prevent federal agencies from destroying evidence related to Border Patrol agents' fatal shooting of Alex Preddy during protests Saturday.
We always investigate any conduct like this, any shooting like this, and we'll get to the bottom of everything that happened.
Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche on Fox and Friends. From Texas to Virginia, more than 800,000 homes and businesses are without power from the weekend's winter storm. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee also on Fox and Friends.
When you have this many hundreds of thousands of people with no power and it's single-digit temperatures outside, obviously it's very dangerous.
More than 15,000 flights have been canceled yesterday and today. America's listening to Fox News.
Over at the beach to know that we are talking about your fault.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 30 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies this morning here in Pensacola. We're going to get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That's up in a couple of minutes. First, we're taking a look at our headlines this morning. Escambia County leaders weighing a big update for the Pensacola Bay Center. Of course, this is nearby Mobile, moving forward with a $350 to $400 million brand new arena. A proposal presented last Friday includes $71 million in arena renovations, $84 million for a new event center, $30 million for a practice ice rink.
January 21st, 41 years ago, KISS opened the building in Pensacola. They opened the Civic Center, and we've gotten a lot of use out of it. It's served many generations of locals here. I moved here in 85 with my mother in the Navy. I grew up here, went to school here, left, came back. I'm staying here.
That's Bay Center manager Michael Capps. Now, the proposed upgrades would add premium seating, increased concert capacity to more than 8,500 seats, and create new convention and tournament space. That project also would be expected to generate $59 million annually. Commissioners did raise some parking concerns, which would be reduced by 460 spaces under the proposal. The county is looking to set up a joint meeting with the Pensacola City Council to continue discussions in the coming months. Well, seniors at Pensacola's Cobb Center have been without meal service from the Council on Aging since last August. Rosa Johnson brought that issue to the Escambia Board of Commissioners meeting on Friday. She said the disruption stemmed from a conflict between an employee, two employees, one with the Council on Aging, another with the city, and had nothing to do with funding.
We're going to do everything that we possibly can do to make sure that every child and every senior is fed in Escambia County. And it's a sad day when our children and our seniors can't eat. And we're going to do everything that we can to support you.
That's District 3 Commissioner Lumen May. He said he's been in contact already with Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, who assured him that the seniors will be fed. May said that many of the affected seniors are on fixed incomes and struggle with rising food costs. The Cobb Center is within city limits, but also within Commissioner May's county district. Last week, city officials said they'd tried to resolve the issues previously but hadn't been successful. They did say that where meals are served is ultimately up to the Council on Aging. Well, the America's First Settlement Trail Foundation wants to sell engraved bricks at Florida Square to raise money for a permanent trail. The locations where the Confederate monument stood before it was removed in 2020. The three-mile trail was established in 2022 and modeled after Boston's Freedom Trail. Red paint marking that route is fading. Founder Michael Caro says bricks would cost $150 to $500, depending on size. The first phase would aim to raise about $129,000. The Park and Rec Board approved the plan that now has to go to the city council. It's 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. If you are on US 98 east and westbound through Gulf Breeze, that is currently flowing smooth. Gulf Beach Highway, not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
It is going to be a very cold start to your day with breezy conditions. Temperatures starting off in the 20s, feeling much cooler with the wind. High near 43 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back below freezing, 24 degrees. As you head into Tuesday, sunny skies, high near 48. And Tuesday night, temperatures dropping back into the 20s, 28 degrees. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
We've got 30 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Good morning, 8:38 News Radio 92.3. All right, so question for the day is, when you go to the bank, do you want to drive through with a teller? Do you want to drive through with an ATM? Do you want to walk up to the ATM? Or are you the lobby participant? 437-1620, when you go to the bank, what is your favorite way to interact with the bank? Drive-through teller, drive-through ATM, walk-up ATM, or go into the lobby and talk to the people. PJ, 437-1620, 437-1620. PJ, what is your preference? Can I guess?
Go ahead. That'll be more fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess for you. Let's see how well I know you. You've filled in for, you know, John maybe like, what, 20, 30 times? Maybe somewhere in that vicinity?
A little bit like that, yeah.
Okay. I've got you as a drive-through ATM guy.
That is what I currently do.
Yes! Go
it's
on,
not
tell
what
me.
I prefer,
tell me. It's not your preferred.
No.
What is your preferred?
I'm still old fashioned. I like to go in, talk to the teller.
Oh, me
and hand them
you
my
and me
check,
both.
Do my business.
Yeah. There's something about that that's like people interaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
there's also, and I know this is because I'm not a, you know, a Gen Z, okay? I like talking to people face-to-face. I don't find that challenging or frustrating. And I always feel like, I don't know, you can make sure you get what you need done when you're sitting there face to bulletproof glass to face with somebody.
Exactly.
That when it's like in the car and the sending of the canister and the maybe I did it right and the physicality of it and then you got to wait and you can't really. I always feel like a third class citizen in the drive thru.
I don't like sticking the card in and putting my PIN number in.
Oh, yeah. I don't. I always
feel like there's eyes everywhere.
I haven't used an ATM in probably 30 or 40 years. So I grew up in Chicago where every card, you had a free ATM. And then they started charging transaction fees and all this stuff. And I just never went back to using them. I don't even own an ATM card, a debit card. I don't even own one. So I know it makes me weird, but
yeah.
When do you need cash?
Well, how do you do your banking now?
Oh, my wife does it.
Was that an option?
That should be like number five, send the spouse. But on those rare occasions when I have to go, I'm definitely a go in and talk to people. And I don't mind waiting in line for a minute. I'm waiting a long time. But if you have to wait in line inside, you probably have to wait in line outside. This came up the other day because my wife was telling me that apparently the Navy Federal Outpost on Airport in Davis, it's now the drive through is not tellers anymore. It's only the ATM. Or maybe there's more than one of them. I don't know.
Some of them have live tellers. It's like a person who's on location, and then they'll come up on a screen and talk to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just vomit. I'm sorry. That's just horrible. Another thing against Navy Federal. They're a good organization. I'm sure there's reasons, but sorry, no. 437-1620, 437-1620. I think it's largely an age thing. My guess is, and this will probably make both of us seem old, is the fact that we want to actually go interact with a person. We don't mind that. That doesn't bother me. I like that. That's, again, I feel like I am in control in that circumstance, whereas otherwise there's some kind of, some kind of an inconvenience. All right, 437-1620, 437-1620. What's your preferred way to go to the bank? Drive-through teller, drive-through ATM, walk-up ATM, lobby, or spouse? Outsource it. Externalize your problem. Find somebody else to do it for you. I usually go drive through no teller. If I need help, I go inside. Somebody says it all depends on the transaction required at the time. Okay, I can understand that. Myself, drive through ATM. My husband goes in to find people to talk with. Yeah, I just think that's more, I know this ages me because I don't think that generally people under 30 are eager to go in and mingle. And I understand that. And I'm not trying to waste time. I'm not trying to take more time. If I'm going to wait, I'd rather wait inside the lobby with other, and I don't really talk with other people in the line or anything like that. It's just, if I'm waiting in my car, it makes me more impatient. If I'm waiting in the lobby, I don't really feel impatient. And again, I just know whatever end result I'm trying to achieve, I know I'm going to get it done. Whereas when I'm in the car, it's sort of like the Joe Pesci, something bad happens at the drive-thru. That's a paraphrase.
Okay, right.
Whatever you want, Leo gets. 437-1620. What else? I like the option depending on what I need to do. I don't like virtual tellers. That's a new one to me. I haven't even used the virtual teller. I did almost throw the phone the other day having to use the AI assistant walk me through a problem, and Somebody says, I like to go in the lobby because stick-ups are easier done there. All right, so the number I'm forwarding to PPD is... No, just kidding. I love my loudies. You guys are so funny. I mostly bank online, Janet says, but when I do... Sorry, this is not Janet. This is... James, I think, is who this is. Where did it go? I had it back. I mostly bank online, but when I do go to the bank, I prefer the lobby just to remind myself what that's like. I know the Panera 9 Mile, there's no people there. They're all remote somewhere else. It reminds me of, I know I'm making myself old when I say this reference, but for those of you old enough to remember, do you remember the movie Real Genius? Val Kilmer?
Yes.
Great movie.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And Richard Thornton, whatever the jerk face from Die Hard. Anyway, he's the teacher. In that movie, there's this great scene where the kids go to the college lecture, and the one, you know, the genius guy, the prodigy who's there, so they start leaving tape recorders in there to record the lecture. And eventually he's in there, and there's like 15 tape recorders, and the teacher has recorded his lecture onto a reel-to-reel or something. And so the machine is playing the lecture, and the machines are recording the lecture, and there's only one person just kind of wondering, what in the hell am I doing here? Don't you feel that way sometimes with this AI and the screen-based tellers? I mean, it sounds so insane. I know that the cost of a person, I understand, but isn't it just better, healthier, normal? Let's see. Navy Federal on Davis went to ATM only because of the car line for drive-through tellers clogging the parking lot. Oh, and that is. Plus the turn lane getting in there. It's the worst design. It really is the worst design, both from the parking lot and the get in off of Davis Highway. Couldn't agree more. Let's see. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars, gently used, 1 to 3, 4, maybe years old, and 10 to maybe 30 or 40,000 miles, depending on the age. Cars that are almost new, okay, not brand new. You don't have that depreciation hit like Dave Ramsey's always teaching about. But you have a good deal on a car. They'll give you a Carfax with it. So you know the vehicle maintenance history. I always recommend that. Get a Carfax. Also, if you're buying from some like corner lot or whatever, you can take the VIN to them, and Frontier will provide you they'll give you a run the Carfax for you for free. I still recommend you go to a good mechanic and get a used vehicle inspection. It might cost you, $150, $200, but it's worth it. Oh, my God, the things I have discovered with used vehicle inspections. Anyway, but Frontier, it's all included. No problem. And they stand by their cars. Every car is warranted to 100,000 miles or 10 years, so you know they're good quality cars. Dave Ramsey recommends them. I recommend them. The license plate frames and the bumper stickers recommend them. They've been around for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to the calls or texts on the question of where do you go? How do you do your banking? Which is, are you a drive-through with the teller? Are you a drive-through with the ATM? Are you a walk-up at the ATM? Do you go inside and go to the lobby? Or do you send your spouse? 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody says, Penn Air has no tellers at site for the drive-through, but you can get one that's off-site. Nothing better than a virtual teller from India. I don't know if they're... I'm assuming Penn Air, maybe not, but I don't know. Anyway, love to talk with the teller inside because it gives people employment. Don't drive off with the suction tube canister. I did that once. Just don't do it. That's a problem too. Somebody says, I'm 52 and I rarely go to the bank. I do 95% of online banking, including making deposits. Oh, I guess it is an option of, but then like with checks and things, you mail it in? How does that work?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I guess if you get virtual checks.
I've moved money from my savings to my checking, but that's about all I can do.
So that's one of the primary reasons my wife has to go to, because again, she does most of the banking, is because we get checks. Checks for Christmas, physical checks we prefer for refunds or anything like that. So, you accumulate enough checks, you eventually have to go to the bank. But yeah, she does do a lot of the online banking. That's true. You can scan the checks and keep them. Oh, yeah, you learn something every day. Okay, so pure online is another alternative. Don says, for ATM cash, I'll go either to walk up or drive through, whichever is faster. Tap your card, not insert it. Oh, yeah, I don't trust that either. Funny little foibles. For actual banking, I go inside. 100% face-to-face in the lobby. I love getting first-time texts. Like, first time this person, in however many years they've been listening, this is the first time they decided to text. I appreciate that. Somebody says, we hate the new setup at Penn Air. Oh, this is interesting. So I didn't really know about this, and I didn't mean it to turn into a whinge fest. But, hey, Penn Air folks, listen. We hate the new setup at Penn Air. It's weird talking to a face in a kiosk. We're lobby lovers to begin with. When I was a server in 2008, I was making an ATM deposit. The ATM started destroying the bills. Never again. Walk up mostly or mobile banking for smaller checks. Somebody says, no real people at the banks is creepy and horrible. So what is it? You go in and it's like an array of kiosks with remote tellers on the screen?
Yes, it is.
No, come on.
Yeah.
That's a real thing?
That's a real thing.
Okay. I literally did not know this was something that anybody in America was doing. But come on. This is, every dystopian sci-fi movie you hated growing up is this. Don't do that. This is terrible. That's... Ew. I'm not trying to single out any particular, but ew. No. Okay. At the lobby, we older people largely enjoy the other people, and we're not afraid of face-to-face encounters. Somebody says, it depends on my reason for going, but usually I go to my favorite teller in the drive-thru at my favorite branch. Oh, I see. Don't you have, like, at the grocery store, don't you have checkout people that you get to know? If you go to the bank often enough, don't you get to, you get to know people. You may not know them on a deep personal level, but I like knowing the people. That's part of being connected to a community. And then, you know, I mean, like when I go to the grocery store and Gloria, she's like, hey, did you see that special? I'm like, oh, no, I did not. Or, you know, hey, can you go grab me the special? I mean, like, I don't know. You're making relationships. Make relationships, people. Let's see. 437-1620. You wanted to weigh in, PJ? No? Okay. I thought you had a... let's see. Somebody says, that's a different topic. I got that. My wife doesn't allow me to help with the banking. Hey, that's a good... what is that? Separation of resources or whatever. For cash, I use my ATM card at the Walmart when I'm purchasing groceries and I can walk out with the cash. Okay, so that's like a twofer. You're doing it somewhere. Anyway, there you go. That's your topic for the day is how do you like to do your banking? 437-1620. It's 850 on News Radio 92.3. Cold today, tomorrow, forever, as long as we can tell. I'm Andrew McKay.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Okay. I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu. The daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu, medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday, enjoy Mardi Gras in Milton with the 8th annual Crew of Airship Pirates Mardi Gras Parade. The beads start to fly at 3 o'clock. The 5th annual Pas de Gras event will be Sunday from 11 till 4 on the closed-down Garden Street between Tarragona and Palafox. Enjoy the parade, costume contests, vendors, and fun. Find out more at visitpensacola.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
There's a parade somewhere
you probably want to know about.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Aw, don't be such a spoil sport just because one little old cotton picking joke backfired.
So speaking of James Uthmeyer, or Uthmeyer, I suppose a lot of people prefer to say. I don't know why I got it stuck in my head that it's Uthmeyer, because everybody I know says Uthmeyer, and I don't know why I can't train myself to say it the way everybody else says it. I should have asked him when I saw him at the American Magic event. He writes his memo on it cracks me up. So he writes an attorney general opinion on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. About why racial diversity and benefits, anything that appeals to minorities, minority contracting preferences and hiring or contracts or anything like that, how all of this stuff is a violation of Florida law. Now, on the merits of what he's saying, I probably agree with him. I mean, I think these are generally all bad things. We should favor excellence over everything else. But there are so many just weird notes about this story. For example, it's an official attorney general's opinion, but do you know why he issued it? Because typically what happens is somebody asks you to write an opinion about some pressing matter, and the attorney general doesn't issue an awful lot of these opinions, right? There's the difference between, you know, like writing a letter on your own stationery as your, like his opinion about the Sanger Theater did not have anything to do. I mean, nobody asked him for that, or maybe they did, but it's not an attorney general. It's just a letter, okay? This, literally, he asked himself to write it. Racial discrimination is wrong. January 19th, 2026. Racial discrimination is wrong. It is also unconstitutional. Okay, yeah. Yet Florida maintains several laws on its books that promote and require discrimination on its face. Therefore, I requested, and I am now giving, an official opinion in writing on a question of law relating to my official duties. I asked myself to write to myself about the thing which myself is interested in. So self-absorbed. As Florida's chief legal officer, the constitutionality of laws that seek to mandate discrimination based on race relations relates to my official duties as attorney general. It's so self-serving. So he then goes on, okay, to write about whether Florida laws that mandate discrimination, he says, based on race by giving preferences are in fact unconstitutional or illegal under Florida and federal law. And then he goes through writing, this is how we need to think about it. These are the case. It's like he woke up on Martin Luther King Jr. Day and said, you know what I want to do today? I want to pretend to be a Supreme Court justice for a day. And I want to pretend somebody has come to me with a big important question of the day about race priorities and race, you know, racial quotas and whatnot. And I am going to ask myself to tell myself what my thoughts about this are. And then I'm going to write this 14-page letter about it. The whole thing, it's, I have seen so many cases where, you remember when he was under scrutiny for the foundation's malfeasance allegations, and his solution to that was to hold press conferences on different topics to distract us, you know, kind of like the Greenland stuff is a really great distraction from talking about, I don't know, the Epstein files. Just saying. Anyway, so that's what he did. And now, I don't know what the distraction is here, but it's just kind of such a weird thing to engage in this. I'm going to pretend to be a Supreme Court justice and write you an opinion. Now, there's more on this. I'll get to it. I'm making fun because it's silly, but we'll come back to it and say, because there's actually something very interesting here. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. Traffic on US 98 eastbound from about the Navarre Beach Bridge to Neptune Drive, so it's quite a bit of a stretch there. Seeing some major slowdowns. Looks like there might be a couple accidents along the way that are slowing people down, so expect that to add time to your trip today. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, so back to this question of, you know, James Uthmeyer's writing of an opinion because he requested of himself to write the opinion about the illegality of racial preferences in hiring and contracting. And, you know, this is everything from, like, the minority chamber kind of stuff. It's all around us, right? And the fact that he issues this opinion on Martin Luther King Jr. Day is such a poke in the eye. I mean, it might be appropriate for him to write it. It might be justified, and the things he might be addressing are significant, and I think all. But to issue the thing on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I mean, come on. But then if you go down to the end, and you got to go all the way to the end. So this is page... this is page 8 through the rest of the thing. He does list out all of the Florida laws and or elements of practice in the state of Florida that he thinks are at odds with the requirement not to discriminate. And I have to admit and be honest, this is why Led was saying I'd probably agree with him. You know, one of the things that I always find amazing is... I have all kinds of opinions about James Uthmeyer. But he winds up being right, not all the time, but you know, like a lot, if I hadn't had certain things that created a disposition of me towards him, you know, we probably agree about a lot of stuff. And on this, I think he's right. Weirdly, for example, he lists one statute that requires the Secretary of the Department of Commerce to promote minority businesses. Well, that's a racial preference, which is, of course, a racial discrimination. You can't preference one without discriminating against the other. Remember we were talking about the Fernando Mendoza, you know, thanking God for winning? Well, that means the other side should be thanking God for losing, right? To say God help you win is to say God help somebody else lose. To say the statute requires us to help minority businesses means it helps us disadvantage non-minority businesses. And he's saying that's wrong. Minority physician networks, helping them in the definition of managed care plans. Defining minority physicians networks as a network of primary care physicians with experience managing Medicaid or Medicare recipients. I mean, he goes through, like I said, there's about 50 of them where he walks through and explains. I mean, he doesn't do much analysis, but he says this is the part that's problematic. Section 255.102 of Florida statutes establishes affirmative action programs and construction contracts for state university capital projects. Minority business enterprises. Minority professional contracting agencies. Agreement to remedy social and economic disadvantage suffered by certain groups. That's from 287.09431. So, on the one hand, I think it's very self-serving. It's weird. Also, to do it on Martin Luther King Jr. Day is sort of either deliberately obnoxious or tone-deaf at best. But if the goal is to clean up the Florida statutes and get rid of race-based, you know, discrimination in favor of one, which would be discrimination against another, I think he's on the right track. And so cleaning up these things, I would like to see that happen. So like I say, it's just a weird way to get there and certainly an odd day to do it on. But nevertheless, in the end, it's done. The letter has been written to himself. Senior Bowl tickets. I have Senior Bowl tickets on January 31st. That would be, this Saturday, right? It's January 31st, Senior Bowl. So if you want to go, I have a pair of tickets. You do have to pick them up here at the station, but it is always a great event. So be caller number one right now, 437-1620. 437-1620. PJ, I'll take your call, get you those tickets, and you can enjoy a little bit of extra bonus football, which is coming up this weekend. Thanks so much for listening. Meg will be up next. Stay warm in the cold, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3.